Okay, good morning. The topic today is milk kosher? So generally we assume that anything that comes from a kosher animal by definition is kosher itself. This is a Mishnah, and it's also Siman and Yoredei, a Pei Aleph. This you don't have in your Marah Makomos, but I'll just read it to you. The Mechaber tells us, Cholav behema v'chaya tameya o, if you have milk coming from a behema or a chaya that is tame or treif, so then that milk is going to be asurim kibisora, has the same status as the flesh, as the flesh of the animal. And the opposite is also true, that if a cholav comes from behema tahora, an animal that is a species that's kosher, and it's not a trefa, so then that milk is assumed to be kosher. Because we have a klal, kol hayotze min hatame, tame, kol hayotze min hatahor, tahor. Anything that comes from the source of kashrus is kosher. Anything that comes from the source of non-kosher is non-kosher. So, Pashup Shat, when you're milking a cow, are cows a kosher species? Yes. Cloven hooves, chew its cud. Is the cow treif? Is the cow assumed to be treif? So that you don't really know until you shecht the cow, but a dairy cow, you're not going to shecht as long as it's actually giving milk. So how do we know it's a kosher cow? How do we know it's not a trefa?
X-ray the lungs.
Oh, so the Gemara says that we have rov. Rov behemos ksheiros, right? Majority of animals we assume not to be trefa. So based on rov, anytime you get milk from a kosher species, we assume it's not a trefa. So the animal has a din of kosher, and therefore the milk has a din of kosher as well. Now there is a question. Why, even if a cow is kosher, kol hayotze min ha-tahor is tahor, that would be, let's say you shecht the cow and you check the lungs, so it's a kosher species, it's not a trefa. So that means any part of that animal, anything that comes from that animal, even if you wouldn't generally eat it because it's kind of gross, but it's officially kosher. But let's say the cow is still alive, and unfortunately, you lost the toe. Now, cows don't really have toes, but right? Part of the hoof, it got disconnected. Am I allowed to eat that? Let's say part of the body gets cut off. Unfortunately, it gets caught in the fence, right? A little chaticha roilis kabed comes out of that. Oh, so before the shechita, if the cow's alive, so there we would lechora say anything that comes from an animal when it's still living would be Eber Menachai. So generally, when you milk a cow, is the cow alive or dead? Right? Usually it's alive. So there's a discussion about Cholav Meso. That's in Pesayim. But usually, when you milk a cow, it's coming from an animal that's still living. And therefore, all milk, even if it's coming from a behemoth tahara, right, it's a species that's kosher. And we could assume, let's say, based on rov, that it's not a trefa, so it's for sure kosher, rov paskins, but milk should still be usur because it's aver min achai. Based on that logic, you could argue that eggs coming from a chicken, right, it's a kosher species, and we assume that everything is good, but eggs are also Eivir Min Achai. So that's why, generally speaking, frum people do not drink milk and do not eat eggs, based on that concern of Eivir Min Achai. Okay, weiter. So what's the heter? Why don't we say that milk and eggs are also based on Eivir Min Achai?
It's like it's a separate entity.
Oh, So Rav Michal's back and on fire today. We view it as a separate entity. What are you eating there? Maybe that's a problem. Okay. Everyone else having bagels. So there's actually a drasha. The drasha is, how is Eretz Yisrael described? It's a land flowing with eggs and honey, with milk and honey, right? Eretz Zavas Chalav Udavash. So we learn from there that if it's praising Eretz Yisrael for having milk, obviously the assumption is that you're allowed to drink the milk. So there's a shach in Yeridei and Pesayin who says that same drasha that teaches us that milk is mutter and it's not considered Eiver Menachai, that drasha is not a Gezeres HaKosuv, but it's being Megala, it's revealing to us an insight that anything that's not viewed as part and parcel of the behema, but it's somewhat distinct, and it comes from the animal, Gesundheit. So then that would not have a violation of Eiver Menachai. And based on that logic, says the Shach, that's why eggs are kosher also.
And it's also something which is forced to come out. In other words, it's never really part of the thing because its creation is to come out.
So you're giving a potential hesber as to why it's viewed as disconnected.
Right.
Okay. But it's an amazing idea. The Shach is telling us, without the pasuk of Eretz Zavas Chalav Devash, the assumption would have been that milk from a kosher animal and eggs from kosher chickens are treif. That's an amazing idea.
What about the idea of chewing the bird, though, and stealing the eggs? That's a mitzvah. Wouldn't that not count?
You're saying, can we show from the fact that there's a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan that eggs must be kosher? Oh, good discussion as well.
There's a debate whether the mitzvah is them or just...
Okay. Anyway, so generally speaking, we say if milk is coming from a kosher species, it's assumed to be kosher because rov behemos ksheros. It's not a violation of Eiver Menachai because we have the pasuk. Although eggs are very expensive nowadays, right? Rav Aaron was pointing out that the fact we're still serving eggs when there's a shortage and every egg is just worth a lot of money, that's a very chashuv thing. What has changed potentially in the last few decades that brings up more of a shaila? Can we really assume that all cows are kosher? What has changed? So there's something called DA, district attorney. Or, right, what does DA stand for? What?
Drug Administration.
Drug Administration, okay. I'm looking for something else.
Dan Armstrong.
Dislocated embolism. Right? That was the tip of the tongue. We know that a cow has four different stomachs. And there seems to be, right, one of the four. It's common for it to get dislocated, causing a real buildup of gas and other things that are unhealthy for the cow. So there is a procedure where you basically go in and you puncture that stomach in a way that allows the gas to come out, helping the health and vitality of the cow. That procedure might, and this is a whole discussion unto itself, but that might render the cow a treifa.
But you see that the cow stays alive in most of these cases.
Okay. Now, usually the definition of a treifa is based on the gedarim of Chazal, right? So if Chazal tell us that a certain type of puncture has a din of a treifa, it's a treifa. Now, it's a good point that if this procedure is being done to hundreds of thousands of cows around the world, and they're all living long and healthy lives for many, many years, or it's not a treifa. But let's just say it's a questionable issue, and maybe it does render the cow a treifa. Perhaps there are animal activists out there. What's that? So tsar ba'alei chayim, it's a good question, but you're doing it to help the animal. Right? Now, it's interesting. Why is this a new question? Did cows not have this problem let's say, 70 years ago. Only in the last 30 years did they, you know, start having a more difficult time digesting their food. So the answer seems to be it's based on what they're fed. So in the olden days, cows would roam free and they would generally graze on grass. And that's more of their natural, organic, hormone-free. Everything was great, and therefore their stomach was fine. However, in more recent times, it seems like we're feeding them a lot of cheap grain. Perhaps corn is their main staple. And it doesn't go down as easily as grass. So that could be the reason why it's only the last few decades this is more of an issue, and therefore this procedure is more commonplace. What percentage of cows have this procedure? So it's a good question, probably depends on where you are and many other factors, but it could be between 20 and 30% of cows. Oh, so if you do a little bit higher math now, that's still less than the majority, right? So what's the problem? Problem is like this. In the olden days, how would you milk a cow, right? You bring the cow into the barn, the milking area, and you milk the cow. So then you might have, theoretically, to make it simple, you have 100 cows on the farm, and each one you're milking into their own little bucket, their own little basin. You bring in all of the buckets of milk. Even if we'll assume 20 or 30% are trefos, but you look at each bucket and you say, is this from the rove or from the miut? So obviously rove paskins, kol haporish, right? Anything that's coming from a mixture, we assume it's from the majority. So even though I might know logically that out of all of these buckets of milk, 20 or 30 of them might be treif, but rove would paskin on each one, it's kosher, and therefore I'm allowed to use every single one. What makes it more complicated, bizman hazeh? You have a whole, if you've ever seen, right, a real milking process, you might wish have these massive, like, wheels where you put in all the cows together, and it's definitely automated. You don't have people there, you know, milking it manually. All of the milk is basically, you know, coming together in these massive vats. And therefore, every huge container of milk is really a combination of potentially hundreds and hundreds of cows. So now it's a whole different question. If we're to assume that 20 or 30% of the cows are treif because of this procedure, and all the milk is mamish mu'uruv, it's mixed together, so maybe if I wanted to know, am I allowed to eat this particular cow? The halacha is, rov cows are still kosher, of course you could eat the cow. Okay, but now that all the milk is together, if 20 or 30% of this milk is non-kosher, so do you need rove or do you need shishim? Do you need just the majority to be kosher milk, or do you need 60 times kosher versus treif?
Don't say that as it goes into the vat that's mevatalit. So meaning we're looking at it now at the end of the day, 2 days later we have a vat of milk that's almost here. But as each cow is milked, it goes into the vat and is bottled.
But in order for it to be bottled, the question is, do you need rove or do you need shishim?
Why would it be rove, just like we said before?
So rove is when you're looking at the entity, right? So here's the classic case. You have three pieces of meat, and you know that two are kosher and one is not kosher, but they all look the exact same. So there, we would say rove paskins. Each one is kosher.
But if someone had already cooked all three pieces of meat together in a chalk, we still say rove is kosher, don't we?
Ooh, so there we say when it's cooked together, when it's ma'urav, then it's no longer chad betray, right? There you have to have shishim. So even though here it's not officially cooked together, but it's all ma'uruv together, so l'chora you'd have to have shishim. Now here's where the complexity comes in. Paskining on the tubes, you're suggesting? Okay, so how about before we allow ourselves to get too sophisticated, right? Let me just share one idea here, okay? Do you need rov or do you need shishim? So we know as follows, min ha-Torah, when you have min b'she'eino mino, you have a different species, right? So let's say you have one piece of chazer, and then you have two pieces of kosher cow meat, and they look the same. I can't tell them apart, theoretically. If they're now all cooked together, the fact that I had two pieces of kosher and one piece of treif will not help me, because the tam of the treif, we paskin the tam ke'ikr mideraisa, the flavor of that treif will definitely be present. So the only way for that to be kosher is you have to have shishim, right? You have to have 60 pieces of kosher meat in contrast to that one piece of chazer. Let's say, though, it's all the same species, where the three pieces of meat are all coming from cows. One cow is an avela, meaning one piece of meat you bought at public, so obviously it wasn't shechted properly, it has a din of an avela, and the other two came from the grove. And they were cooked together. So do you need shishim? The answer is min ha-Torah you don't, because it all has the same exact tam. So you don't have to be mevatel the tam. There's no need to nullify the flavor, because the flavor of treif you're not going to be tasting as long as you have rov kosher. So min ha-Torah chad b'trei is sufficient. However, there we paskin that midirabanin, you have to have shishim. Whenever you have a mixture, a taruvis, right, you're cooking these pieces of meat together, or if it's not even cooking, but in a case where you have a treif cow and you have kosher cows and you're getting milk from all of them together, so then it's mu'urav, you would argue that min ha-Torah, as long as you have the majority of kosher cows, this milk is kosher because it's one min. However, midirabanan, you'd have to have shishim. So based on that background, all right, Pashup Shada comes out that you have all these cows that are getting milk together, all going into the same massive basin of milk. You have rov, so min ha-Torah, it would be okay. It'd be kosher, because it's the same min. However, midirabanan, lechora, it would be treif, because midirabanan, you have to have shishim. So that's why, right, you could make a very valid argument that all milk that we have bizman hazeh, assuming that 20 or 30% of the animals are considered treif based on this procedure, so all milk would be kosher min ha-Torah and osur midirabanan. Now, just to clarify, this whole conversation is before we get to the, you know, the iyun of what's Chol of Yisrael. We're not talking about Chol of Yisrael. Right, Chol of Yisrael is clearly a din derabanan that we're not discussing today. Today we're only talking about the actual halacha of milk. Meaning, assuming all Jews are involved. This is happening in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone is Jewish. Even Eretz Yisrael is not the case, right? But theoretically, everyone in the factory was Jewish and they're all looking at it carefully. It's all Chol of Yisrael. You have the same question. The milk that's being produced should be mutter min ha-Torah, but asur min derabanan. Interesting, right? Question, doctor.
And just so, like, you know where we're at, is this is like, we still have to decide whether that procedure, right?
We have to decide whether or not that procedure actually renders it a treifa, but let's assume for this conversation that it does. Okay.
Or
30% treif. Based on this, it's all the same. Oh, okay. Same 20 or 30%. Wow. Right? Because it's mixed together, you don't have shishim, so milk should be osur midirabanan. This is a question that has been addressed by many. More recently, Rav Asher Weiss in the Tshuva speaks about this. Let's take a look here in the first page where the question is presented. This is page Kuf Chavav. Basher Sholadati Bedover Mash Orul Achrona Binyan Kashru Sakhalov. You're requesting my opinion regarding topic that's come up recently with kashrus achalav. Yisod hasheila mashi yadua sheyesh echos nikur shel behemo shehein trefos o lepacho suffik trefos. The question's predicated on the knowledge that there is a percentage, a significant percentage of cows that are trefos or suffik trefos based on this procedure. Ve'im kein mistaver da'af dazlin an basuro v'mutter lishtos chalva ule echoles besara shel kol behem behema ve'litlo shehi min harov haksheros. Even though if you were just taking one cow and you want to know, can I shech the cow and can I drink its milk? The answer would be, of course, because Rove Paskins, this cow is kosher. Avakasher ma'arvim es acholav shel meos poros. But nowadays you're mixing together the milk of hundreds of cows. Eich nuchal lomer shekulam kasheros. How can we say that they're all kosher? Neged hametzius sheyesh esrim echus trefus, which is keneged. It's in direct contrast to the reality that there are probably about 20% that are trefa. Since it's all together and you have trefos, you have to have a bitl b'shishim, at least midir button, like we explained. If you're working with this assumption that you're 20% of cows that are trefos, so then all milk should be asur midir button. So it's right. It's not totally in the procedure. The reason why it's more of a shayla bizman hazeh, or perhaps this high of a percentage, seems to be based on that procedure. But right.
But as not his question, even if it would be 5%, it would still be a problem.
Right. And any time you're not going to have a bittul b'shishim, you would have the same question.
He's going assuming this procedure.
Well, so the truth is, like Rabbi Muscat's pointing out, this is a valid question. Even if this whole problem of the DA never existed, if you could somehow show that stam, you have 4 or 5% of cows that are trefos, and the way we milk cows is you have hundreds of them and they're being milked all together, you'd have the same question. Well, if you look throughout the world,
not 1% or 2%, then you would have shisha.
If you had 1%, right, you would have shishim. 2% is 1/50th, yeah. 2% milk. That's good. That's why only 1% milk is kosher. That's good. So that's the question. Now, it's interesting the way he explains here. We're not going to have a chance to go through the entirety of the tshuva, but just to open our minds a little bit and to feel more comfortable that drinking milk is still kosher. All of this discussion and concern, I feel, is really, it's a mistake. There's a mistaken premise here. Yisod hatos b'meshech lifu bein din Torah da'achar rab m'lahatos. The source of this mistake is mixing up the din Torah following the majority, Acher Rabim Lahatos, with what we call scientific statistics. Those are two separate things. Statistics and the din rov are not the same. The af, im omnam nochon adover, even if it happens to be true, that statistically speaking, in every farm where you have hundreds of these cows, you'll have a significant percentage that are trefos. But just because that may be true statistically, it doesn't mean that's true in the din Torah when we follow rov. Ulefi mishpat haTorah dininan b'chol behema din kishera. Based on the din Torah of rov, we look at every behema individually, and it has the status of kosher. Umameila afim yitztarfu behemos rabos kulan kasheros lefi din Torah. And therefore, even if you mamish mix all the milk together, it would still be kosher according to the Din Torah. Baruch Ata Adonai Lehin Melech Olam Sha'akol Nei Bivaro.
Working with the assumption this is an industrial operation.
So let's explain the words that he's saying, and then we'll have to give a little bit of color to it. He's basically saying, I don't care about the statistics. Now, that's not entirely true. We do care about the statistics, because if theoretically 80 or 90% of these cows were proven to be treif, and that was the metzius in every farm, then based on the statistics, that would be koveya the din rov. All the cows would be treif, and all the milk would be treif. So you can't disconnect the world of statistics from the din Torah of rov completely. What he seems to be saying, though, is when we have a din rov, it depends on what the question is. What's the initial question? What's that? Oh, so milk being kosher or treif is 100% dependent on, is the cow kosher or treif, right? So because that's the halachic shaila, the shaila is, are these animals kosher or treif? So you would look at every animal, and based on rove, you would paskin the animal is kosher. Now, one interesting raya that he brings, he says, think of the classic case. You have a case where the Gemara in Ksubis, teisha chanuyos, you have nine stores selling kosher meat, and you have one store selling treif meat. And let's just assume, to make it very straightforward, every store is selling the same amount of meat, and they all look the same. Okay. Now you happen to find one piece of meat outside on the street. Any normal human being would probably choose not to eat that piece of meat. However, if you're in a bind and you wanted to take it home and eat it, are you allowed to do so? So the answer is, yeah, because we don't know which one of the 10 stores it came from. Acher erav mulahatos, rov paskins. And that would be true even if you had six stores that were kosher and four stores that were treif. Says Rav Asher Weiss, but let's say theoretically, instead of finding one piece of meat, you found 50 pieces of meat. What's the halacha in that case? Right, so every store is selling hundreds and hundreds of pieces of meat. I found 50 pieces of meat right here outside of all of the chanuyos. So do we say, listen, statistically speaking, you'll have 10% of these pieces of meat, we assume they're treif. Is the halacha I could only eat 90%? The halacha is you could have all 50 of them. Because on each piece, you look at it and you say, where did you come from? And the little piece of meat says back, I came from the rove, right? And that's true for every single piece of meat. He gives another interesting example. There's a Gemara that speaks about, you have a city of hundreds of thousands in population, and you find a little child. You're not sure if he's Jewish or if he's non-Jewish. You want to know if you could use him for a minion. Let's assume he's just 13. You don't know if he's Jewish or non-Jewish. Exactly. The main thing they take away is when you find meat on the ground, eat it, and when you find a small child, just bring him in for a minute if needed. Let me just finish this case. So you don't know if he's Jewish or not. What's the halacha? You go based on rov. The majority of the city, are they yidden? The majority of the city is Jewish, then the child has a din of being a Jew. Okay. But let's say, says Rav Asher Weiss, you do this for 10 years. And over these 10 years, for some strange reason, you find many, many children, right? Can you count them all for the minion? Or, right, let's say Lamush, you find 10 altogether. So I could say, well, based on the percentage of the city, statistically speaking, if it's only 60% Jewish, so then I could only count six out of the 10. I can't use them all to be mitzvah for a minion. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is rov paskins, again, because whether or not this child is Jewish is based on where the child comes from. And even that is somewhat counterintuitive, but it's not rational. Because shouldn't I look at, well, how many Jewish women are there in the city, you know, between the ages of whatever childbirth age? That's a more logical place to look. But we don't even do that. It's Rove of the city. So obviously Rove is much more than a logic, it's a din. So to make the application when it comes to milk, whether or not milk is kosher is all based on where it comes from. Because that's the shaila, so then Rove paskins on every cow, this cow is kosher. Which comes out an incredible idea. If you're looking at any bottle of milk, you know, if these statistics are applicable, you know that 20% of this milk is coming from cows that are not kosher. And therefore, the pashut shot would be, because you don't have shishim, this milk is aser midirabanan. But the fact that the din rov paskins that every cow is kosher, this milk is mutter l'charchila. Right? It's an incredible idea. Question.
So I just have a question. Because in a case where you have 50 pieces of meat sitting out in the city, you know these are 50 separate pieces of meat, and you know that, say, there's a majority of kosher stores, the meat can't come from more than one store, right? It has to come from a single store. So it's completely possible that every single piece of meat, no matter how unlikely statistically, would...
It's completely possible that every single piece of meat is kosher.
Is kosher.
Okay. Right? I mean, it's also completely possible that every cow is kosher as well.
No, it's not, because it's all getting mixed together. You know they have...
No, but again, the question is not on the milk, right? The kashas in the milk is based on the question, is the cow that the milk came from kosher?
And you know that there are 20% of the cows are not, and you know it's all getting
mixed together. But if the question is on the cows, this is where it gets subtle. If the question is on the cows, Rove Paskins, every cow is kosher.
Because so you're not asking questions on the milk.
Well, that's the idea here. Yes.
Could we just please review what it's saying here? Is the issue with the statistics on the... I'm a little confused because I understand that there's a difference between paskining on single entities of a cow, deciding whether a cow is kosher.
So what I think he means to be saying is that even though statistically speaking, the milk, when you're looking at the bottle, it makes sense that 20% or so of this milk is coming from non-kosher cows. But that's not machriya the din, because when it comes to halacha, often the halacha is based on what is the proper halachic question to ask. So here, that question is, are the cows kosher? And the answer is yes, right? Maybe just to flesh it out, it makes it somewhat more complicated, but it's an interesting distinction. There's another tshuva where somebody asked Rav Asher Weiss that it seems like your psak regarding milk is in direct contradiction with the different psak that you give in your Sefer Minchas Asher on Sefer Vayikra, where you speak about, is a Kohen allowed to walk into a hospital? So we know that for Kohanim, they're not allowed to make themselves Tamei. That's why they can't go to a cemetery, right? Obviously, with the exception of their seven Krovim. Going into a hospital setting, the Shaila is, maybe there's someone in the hospital who's no longer alive. And walking in, there's Tumas Ohel. So Rav Asher Weiss passes, and we're not going to get too into the details of this question now, so don't worry, Gershon, don't worry. But Rav Asher Weiss paskins that if it's the type of hospital that likely you will have people who are no longer living, walking in would be problematic. So the way that he asked the question here, this is in the next tshuva in Simen Mem, Kuf Chav Ches. Let's take a look at the first paragraph together. This is really where Rav Asher Weiss is answering, but he's making a very interesting distinction. Lifnei Shonim Mispar Binyan Kashrus Sechalav Beretz Yisrael. Regarding the Shaila of the milk, I wrote in a previous tshuva that even if you have a strong percentage, 20 or so percent of the animals being trefos, bottom line is we go based on rove, and that paskins that every animal is kosher, and therefore the milk is kosher as well. Meidach, in the next paragraph he says, on the other hand, I wrote in my Sefer Minchas Asher on this Vikra, on Parshas Emor, the Asur Lekohen Lekones Lebeis Cholim, Kasher Yadonu Shemistoma Yesh Bo Mace. Also to walk into a hospital where the assumption is that there's a mace. Va'av Shema Midim Kol Adam Becheskas Chai. So we do have a chazaka, the Gemara in Gittin and elsewhere speaks about this, that every person, if I'm not sure if he's still alive or not, there's a cheskas chai, which means he was alive before. The halachic assumption is Jerry still alive? The answer is yes, he's becheskas chai. Ein ze ela kasher donim onu al adam besuyim, aval kasher hasheila hi im yesh meis bebayis lo mahani beze cheskas chai. Sha'al kol adam. So I said regarding that shayla of a kohen walking into the hospital, the fact that every individual has a chazaka that they're still alive, that's a personal din. If you want to know about this guy in particular, so then yes, the chazaka is he's still alive. But you're walking into the hospital, the shayla is there someone here who's no longer living? In all likelihood, the answer is yes. So the shoel, the one writing the question, was asking, that sounds like a contradiction. Interesting question. Oh. So that's really what he answers. And again, this is it's a subtle distinction, but it all gets back to what is the halachic question? So regarding milk, the question is, milk is either kosher or treif, totally based on where it came from. So the question is, are the cows kosher or treif? Rov paskins that cows are kosher. Here, there's never a question, is this individual still alive? Is he or she still living? The question is there a mace in the Beis Cholim? Well, the answer to that question is, in all likelihood, unfortunately, yes. So don't walk in. Yes, doctor. The logic of what?
Of cows and milk. If we were talking about like 1998, you have a bunch of cows, you're doing procedures to some of them, and you just kind of like put them back in the herd. But I'm assuming that in 2025, we're shipping cows, scanning each one, you have a complete history of each one of them. So it's no longer
So Dr. Sloan is asking a very, very deep question, which is, they have a little tag on their ear, right? And you can just scan that tag, and it tells you everything you want to know and more about that particular cow, right? Dorothy was born 7 years ago in a ranch in Alabama, right? She was born at, this many pounds and had these injections and vaccines. It was discovered that she had a DA 3 years ago. The procedure took place 2 years ago. So you know everything about every cow. And therefore, the question is, maybe you can't rely on Rove, because Rove is only true when it's EF Charlevarer, right? You can't really find out what the reality is, what the din is. But here, if I could just scan the little tag on her ear and find out that she's from the mute that's treif, maybe you don't have a rove in the first place. If you don't have a rove in the first place, then that means milk should be treif. Okay?
Sorry.
Feel bad we're ending like this. Anyway, Lemaisa, it's a much longer and more elaborate discussion exploring Bechlal, whether or not these procedures do make the cow treif, but a little bit of an insight into the sugya. Have a wonderful day. Shkoyach.
Thank you.
I thought of a column.